Welcome to True Crime in the Low Country, where we explore the darkest corners of the region's criminal history. Join host Frank Santarella and co-hosts Crime and Cask, Jim Cask, and Elaine Greenwood of Superwoke News as they dissect the chilling details of the Murdaugh murder trial, a case that has gripped the nation and exposed years of fraud, deception, and tragedy. It's true crime in the Low Country, and the truth is just around the corner.
All righty, folks, here you go. This is True Crime in the Low Country with Jim Cask and Elaine Greenwood. Oh, no, Elaine Greenwood and Jim Cask. Well, hey, you guys take turns. Who gets first billing? This is
Frank. Always Jim.
Oh, come on.
No, ladies.
Ladies first. This is True Crime.
The illustrious.
Yeah, the illustrious Elaine Greenwood.
Jim, knock it off.
Knock it off. Oh, guys. Let's see.
We're quarreling like little kids before we can even get started.
Yep. Well, hey, you guys, what's going on? And I hear that there's all kinds of crime going on up in the Low Country. Actually, upstate. And all right, let's see. What episode is this? Like 1,159 of True Crime in the Low Country?
I believe so.
Yeah. All right, yeah, Jim, tell us what's going on up there.
Get my radio voice on.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a, it's a rather disturbing story, so I'll give that to your viewers ahead of time. Not so much for the graphicness of it, because, it, you know, in the death, everything is awful, but this particular boy was 14 years old. And on December 30th of last year, not even a year ago, his life was taken from him in a gunshot rifle, 243 bolt-action rifle. It's a sad story, and I talked to the mother. I interviewed her last week.
Now, where did this occur, Jim?
This is in Clinton, South Carolina. It's a little small town. Between Greenville and Columbia off of Highway 26. So almost right in the middle between Greenville and Columbia. And I interviewed the mother, and she talked about finding her son shot in his bedroom, being awoken in the middle of the night. And and I put it up on TikTok because we're trying to get some awareness of this, well, I'm going to call it a murder, certainly the death. We're trying to get some awareness to this, and I put it up on TikTok. And surprisingly, I could go by the name of Crime and Cask on TikTok if you want to follow along for your listeners. It got almost 10 million views. And there was another one that I did. It was probably over a million views. So between the two videos I've done on Caden Moses, we've got over 10 million views. I actually added up the amount of time that people watched according to the TikTok analytics. And it's over 15 years if you add it up. It's over 150,000 hours of viewing time. So we're getting the word out. But what is Caden Moses and what is his story? As I said, he's a 14-year-old boy, and he had a friend over that night. In my story on crimeandcast.com, I called a friend, Henry. I changed his name because he's a minor. And Henry and Caden were in his room. They had two girlfriends.
In Caden's room. They were in Jim. In Caden's room. Yeah. Okay.
Correct. In Caden's room. And they had two girlfriends who were also friends, and those two girls were together. And I guess the way teenagers, you know, they communicate these days on their telephones, as we did, although a bit differently, they were doing it by FaceTime communicating, and they were FaceTime on Facebook and FaceTime on an Apple phone. And there was a time where they stopped. Caden took a shower about 9:15. And after 9:15, 9:45, he got dressed, and Henry was nowhere to be found in the house. Caton had other siblings. He had three other siblings, which were in a bedroom right next to his. They shared a wall. And then he had an older sister who also had a bedroom next to Caton's. They also shared a wall. And his older sister had her boyfriend staying over that night. Just not staying over, but exchanging gifts. He was over visiting her. And so they went, and Caton comes out of his room after he showered, and he tries to find Henry, and he found Henry outside. Not much to speak of about that, except they went back into Caden's bedroom, and as time goes on, all four of the children were playing a game called Roblox, R-O-B-O-L-X, and that's an online game where kids use, and adults use, virtual characters of themselves. And to do this, as I understand through the investigation, when you play the game Roblox online, you have to use two hands as controller. So for an early Christmas present, Caden's mother got him a desk to put in his room. And so he put his computer, he put his, you know, all his media on this desk, and he was sitting at the desk chair. All four of them were on the phone talking, and according to Caden's girlfriend, Henry is on the floor with a blanket over him, and she also sees in plain sight the .243 bolt-action rifle leaning up against the wall. And according to her
statement, and she sees that on the FaceTime. Jim, she sees that on the FaceTime camera.
Correct, on the FaceTime camera.
Because she's not in the room.
She's not in the room, but she sees it on FaceTime camera and says that it is within arm's reach of where Henry was sitting. And as time went on, Henry stopped playing the Roblox game. He didn't want to play anymore. But to just add a little context to this, the boys had been arguing 3 days prior, and they had made up. And in fact, Erica, Caden's mother, wanted to make sure before Henry came over that everything was okay, and Caden assured her everything's fine. Apparently, Henry had allegedly said something about Caden's girlfriend, and you know how those things go with teenagers, and they make up quickly. But that's just to add a little bit of context.
Did Henry have a bit of a temper?
It's been alleged that he's been getting into and has gotten into trouble during his childhood. There's been allegations of him on a camera taking video of him beating up one of his younger sibling sisters. I haven't been able to confirm that, but I've heard that from multiple sources. So he's had some, let's call it issues. His parents are divorced. Doesn't mean anything, but I've heard that he's had some issues, allegedly. So about 10:55, maybe around 11 o'clock, his sister describes what she heard as a light bulb breaking.
All right, Jim, just to clarify, all these kids are like 14 years old?
Caden's 14, the sister, that his friend Henry is 14, the sister 17, and then the other three children, I'm not sure what their ages are, but they were between what's called 4 and
all right.
9.
Yeah, so the sister, the 17-year-old sister heard what she thought sounded like a light bulb breaking or something?
Like a light bulb breaking, yeah, hitting the ground. And then the children on the other side thought it was a... like a picture frame falling off the wall and glass breaking, that type of thing. So what they heard was, and according to Caden's girlfriend, they were playing, all two girls and Caden were playing the Roblox game. And Caden's character was moving the entire time. And then she said she heard Caden say the words, what are, and then after she heard the words what are, she heard the gunshot go off. And it was only then, after the gunshot went off, according to his girlfriend, that the Roblox character he was moving stopped moving. So the sister was sitting in with her boyfriend, the 17-year-old, and she thought she heard the glass, you know, the light bulb go off, break. And then she sat there for a minute, was confused, like, that was just strange. And she said it was probably about a minute, maybe 90 seconds. She waited and then finally said, you know what, I need to go check this out. So, again, they shared a wall, and within the 60 to 90 seconds, what's important to note here is that she heard no screaming, no yelling, nothing. It was silent. The only thing she heard was what she thought was a light bulb crashing. And if you've ever heard a 243 bolt-action rifle go off, it sounds nothing like a light bulb crashing.
No, it's relatively... Listen, sometime later this afternoon, I'm going to be hunting with a 243 rifle. And let me tell you, it's authoritative. And you'll hear... All right. If you're outdoors,
it's an explosion.
You hear a bang, which is what you're saying is an explosion. Then you hear a crack, all right, which is very distinctive. And the crack is the bullet breaking the sound barrier. But now, in the enclosed space of a room, you hear the bang, the explosion, but you don't hear the crack because the bullet isn't traveling over a distance where you'll hear, you know, where you'll hear the sound waves coming back from breaking the sound barrier. So, and the reason I mention this is that it had to sound louder than a light bulb, really, or a picture frame falling off the
wall. Unless it was muffled somehow.
Unless you said there was a blanket involved. Somebody was laying under a blanket.
Yeah, there's a leather coat that Henry was wearing that was not seen that night or after, or seeing him wearing this leather coat either.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
but you guys, wait a minute. If you're actually asleep, like for the kids that were asleep in the bedroom with the adjoining wall on the one side, a noise wakes you up. You may not accurately remember.
No,
recall
you're
the
right.
Noise.
You're
suddenly
right.
Awake.
But again, to Jim's point, if the sound was muffled, like fired through a several layers of blanket, or fired through a coat or a jacket or something like that, it does attenuate the blast somewhat. But will not, of course, affect any of the lethality of the bullet. So, if it's possible that it was muffled to a large degree, if any of these other items were in evidence, that's.
I guess my concern would be you've just taken it from an accidental shooting to an intentional shooting.
Yeah, exactly.
If it's muffled.
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's why I'm cautious about it, Frank.
The jacket wasn't found.
Keep going.
No.
Keep going with the story. But he stops moving this. When his girlfriend hears him say, "What are," like as in, "What are you doing?" But what are? He is still moving his Roblox controls.
Correct.
The character is still moving, and in order for that to happen, both of his hands have to be on the device itself. The other thing is, if you go to Jim's website, there's video he has at, you know, crimeandcask.com. You can see video of Caden's mother describing how his body is found, and it looks very much like in death he's still holding. His hands are curled in a way on his lap as though he was holding a device that he was manipulating
right.
with his thumbs. Okay.
Right.
So anyway, so keep going.
Yeah.
Go.
So there was a silence that kind of was 60 seconds to maybe 90 seconds. And then she said she opened her door, and her door had a metal sign on it. So when she opened her door, it made a clang. She says when she opened her door, that's when she noticed when she started to walk out in the hallway, which, by the way, is maybe two steps to Caden's door. that Henry walks out of that door and shuts the door behind him. And they encounter each other in this hallway, and the sister looks at him and says, "What's going on? I heard a noise. What was that?" And this is where it gets a little eerie, because according to her, she says that Henry looks at her with a straight face and says, "Caden shot himself." And she said it like if somebody would say,
"It's not hysterical."
Right. Yeah. Somebody would say that to you with a straight face. You're like, "You're kidding, right?" And with a straight face, with no emotion, the kid goes, "No, he killed himself." And he turned and started walking away from her into the living room and eventually out to the garage and out into the front yard. Sister goes in and sees him, starts screaming, freaking out. She runs to her mother. The mother was sleeping. It was 11 o'clock. She had received a phone call from Caden's girlfriend at 11:01. But she was sleeping because she had to get up that morning at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, so she went to bed early. And the sister wakes her up screaming and hollering, and she's yelling, "Caden killed himself." Of course, that's just what she heard. She sees her brother laying there, blood's coming out. Mom freaks out, starts screaming. She runs into the bedroom, into Caden's bedroom, and sees him on a chair. Now, what Elaine said is true. It's on my webpage. There's a video on it. It's a TikTok video that's got almost 10 million views. And you can see his bedroom currently conditioned. It's actually, besides the carpet being cut out from where there was blood, and his bed not being there, his room has not changed one bit, including the clothes in the hamper from December 30th, 2023. It's been left undisturbed. And so she sits in this, she goes in and he's sitting in the chair. He's back in the chair. He's facing the desk. His hands are on his top of his legs with his hands on the inside of his thighs. And his head is tilted slightly to the right. And she sees blood coming down his head. And unlike, you know, you can imagine her reaction. She's screaming, she's hollering. And she tries to start CPR on him sitting in the chair. She picks up his phone off his lap and calls 911. I've done a FOIA request with Lawrence County Sheriff's Department. I'll have that soon. And at that time, he kind of slumps over to the right a little bit, according to Erica, the mother. And she tries to grab his head and straighten it. And at that point, she said she felt like a crackling kind of in his skull, which was probably his skull breaking apart. The coroner's report notes that he was shot from the lower left of his body, which is where Henry would have been sitting, was shot at an upward angle, that the projectile or bullet entered his upper left temple and exited out the top right portion of his head. And it, when it exited his head, it entered the wall, which was the wall adjacent to where the younger children were. The projectile split into two as it went through the wall. It exited the wall on the other side where the children were and apparently missed one of the children by 12 to 16 inches. And then it continued its projection into the ceiling. According to SLED in Lawrence County, the projectile had not been recovered. But it was through and through into his head.
Whoa. It wasn't embedded in the ceiling? Is it possible it just went right out into hyperspace? Exterior of the house?
Yeah, I told Erica the other day when I was talking to her, I said, you know, we should go look into your attic and see if we can find it. Because it's got to be either in the attic or it went through her roof. And if so, there's got to be a hole in the roof. But with all the rain that we've had in the past couple of hurricanes, I doubt that she'd you know, she would know that she had a hole in the roof. So yeah. It's got to be in the attic.
What's the value of finding the bullet?
Well, first of all, I don't know about the bullet, but what about the shell casing? Would there be fingerprints of who loaded that shell into the gun? Because my understanding is the gun was not loaded and bullets, the ammunition for that gun were kept separately. And I'm sure you're going to get to that in a minute. But did they find the shell casing? There's only one bullet fired, right?
They did. They recovered the shell casing. Henry goes outside, and he's now starting to freak out a little bit. And Caden's sister, the oldest one, her boyfriend, goes outside into the garage where Henry is. And it's at that point where Henry says, my fingerprints are going to be on the shell casings. My fingerprints are going to be all the shell casings. He says, I loaded and unloaded the gun. He tells that to the boyfriend. The neighbor across the street, her name is Taffy. Kids are screaming. Kids are all over the place. The older sister took the younger children over there. She comes over. She hears Henry say the same thing to her. I interviewed her. Henry told her that his fingerprints were going to be all over everything, the gun, the bullet casings, and so on. The police and the ambulance show up, and what I can tell you is that Lawrence County was the first on the scene, and then the paramedics. Sled came much later. They came in, they called him in because it was a juvenile, and by law they have to bring in Sled. Sled agent came from Columbia, so it was probably an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours later that she arrived. So we're talking about 1 a.m. But Lawrence County had the crime scene. However, according to the mother, no one's clothes were bagged and tagged that night. No one had any fingerprints taken. Nobody had any DNA taken from them, including Henry. No one had any GSR kits performed on their hands. And what did I say? And no fingerprints. So nothing was done to anybody, children, mother, sister, boyfriend, Henry, nothing. In fact, I spoke to the girlfriend of Caden, her mother. I interviewed her. She came in at about 12:30. She arrived at the house, and she told me she walked right into the house and started walking in towards Caden's bedroom, trying to find Erica. And I stopped her, and I said, wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me that you walked right into this particular house and you're walking around and no one stopped you? There's no police tape. There's no, who are you? What are you doing here? She's like, no. She goes, there were officers in his bedroom, but no. She goes, I walked freely. She goes, in fact, she saw Henry walking in and out of the house. And apparently Henry had said to somebody, or at least a police officer, that he wanted to go into the bedroom to retrieve his shoes, according to him. Which was weird. I could only allege that he was not wearing shoes. According to eyewitnesses, he was wearing pants, probably jeans, and a light-colored T-shirt. And in this particular time in South Carolina at night, it was around 38, 39 degrees. So it was quite chilly outside. Mm-hmm. So, and I talked to this woman's name is Tammy. Her daughter was the girlfriend of Caden. She tells a story that she's in her large SUV and her daughter is in the vehicle with her. Henry's girlfriend is in the vehicle with her. They had two friends in the vehicle with them. And then in came Henry's sister and she brought a friend. So there's quite a few individuals in this vehicle sitting there. And Henry's sister then receives a phone call, and Tammy recalls that she's talking to someone and was like the words to the effect of, well, yeah, if he needs them, I can bring him to him, but, you know, let me know where you are. I'll bring him if he needs them. And so it was kind of a cryptic message, and she hung up, and then one of the girls, according to Tammy, said, who was that? And that's when the sister responded back, "That was my mom." And then somebody said, what did she want? And she said, "She wants me to bring my pants to her car to give to Henry." And everybody just kind of looked at each other. And then she exited the vehicle with her friend. And in a short time while, according to Tammy, she returned to the vehicle, but this time she was wearing a pair of shorts. She was no longer wearing the pants that she had on.
Wow.
It's quite strange. Why would Henry need a change of pants? I guess you could say maybe a lot. You could guess a lot of things. Maybe he soiled himself. Yeah. Maybe they were full of blood. Maybe they were... maybe they had gunshot residue on him, and he didn't want the police to see him.
Or blood and tissue on him. It seems like the best answer would be that law enforcement had appropriately asked him for his clothing that he was wearing to test it for evidence that he was of where he was actually when that shot was fired. But that doesn't appear to be what
could be the answer. That very well could be the answer. However, what I will tell you is that same mother saw him walking around this entire time in the front yard over into the garage. And in fact, the first time that Henry was, let's call it, detained by the police, somebody saw him in the front yard and pointed to him and told the police officers that, hey, that's the kid that was in the room with Caden when he was shot. And so they went to him and then they just stuck him into the back of a police car. He was, according to what records I have seen, he was not
questioned
by the officers of South Carolina law.
I don't know if he legally can be.
Right. South Carolina law, you can speak to a juvenile about a crime in South Carolina without their parents. However, anything they say may not be used against them in a court of law unless there is an attorney present, a parent, or a guardian. And neither of those, as I understand it, were present, according to the mother.
All right. So,
the mother and the girlfriend.
So it seems like the crime scene, from everything you tell me, was the crime scene wasn't secured.
No.
It may have been mismanaged. All right.
Appears so.
So now we got young man Henry in the police car with a change of clothes.
Stay with us on True Crime in the Lowcountry. We'll be right back after this short commercial break. Don't go away.